You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Join with me on the Matt Prospect Minute is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
Good, man. Good. I'm excited to talk some Rockies here.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some of the Colorado Rockies prospects and a good system. Again, you know, we start off slow with Diamondbacks, but we've been powering quite well along with the Braves, the Cubs, and now the Rockies. So, Matt, who are some of the prospects to watch out for that are close to the major league team?
They got several here. So I guess what I'll do is I'll start out with Friends with Fantasy Benefits Dynasty League kind of folk hero, Raimel Tapia. I think the interesting story in our league, I think he was – attempted to be drafted like 7 different times in the same draft before.
Mm-hmm.
Is that about right?
Yeah. So yeah. What happened was, someone attempted to draft, or someone did draft Tapia, and then someone
it was
else,
me, by the way. I drafted him.
And then someone else, I believe Cam, attempted to draft him, and then it became a running joke that everybody attempted to take him over and over and over again, and this is now like 3 years later. So yeah, he has been drafted like a total of 45 times in the last 3 years in our Dynasty League.
I'm just mad I traded him, but that's okay.
Well, now that he's drafted by us, what can we expect from him when we see him at the major league level?
Oh, he's a weird player to project because, I mean, the swing is unique to anything I've ever seen before. He's a really skinny, lanky dude. He can run, but he's not very efficient on the bases. Looking last year in the minor leagues, he stole 23 bases, but he was caught stealing 17 times. So you wonder how long the green light's going to last. But in 38 at-bat sample in the majors, he stole 3 bases and wasn't caught at all. So maybe he's got some instruction, maybe his fluky thing, who knows. But his success rate throughout the minor leagues and stolen bases is not good. But he's fast, so he will continue to run, as he should. I have him as a plus runner. Obviously, the hit tool is elite. I think I really, really like the hit tool. I know some people are kind of jumping off the bandwagon a little bit because of the goofy swing. He kind of trips over himself a little bit, gets tangled up. But he can play. He can do everything well. The big question is the power. I shouldn't say does everything well. He's a pretty bad fielder despite the speed he has. He is probably limited to a corner because he's so bad in outfield. The arm isn't great. But the problem with his bat is the lack of power is bigger deal from the corner infield spot. But with what the Rockies get offensively from their shortstop, and when they, especially when Rodgers comes up, and what they'll get offensively from the middle infield, they can, you can afford to deal with a corner outfielder that might not hit a lot of home runs. So it's all about the team construction around him, and That's why I don't really like that argument that a guy doesn't hit enough for this spot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you what if you have, you know, Chris Bryant playing third base? Well, then he can move to a different spot because he's athletic, and you can put a better defensive third baseman that might not hit enough, but Chris Bryant can hit enough for him and the other guy.
Yeah, you sacrifice a little here because you're getting a little bit more there.
I always hate that argument that they don't hit enough for that spot, but I mean, that's in the report, so it is what it is.
I wonder if he's a guy that could end up getting moved by the Rockies for pitching because he doesn't seem to fit well in kind of the expansive outfield defensively.
Yeah, that's a very, very, very good point.
A great trade chip to a team that's looking, you know, to maybe move one of their pitchers.
Yeah, right now I think they'd rather move Gerardo Parra because he costs a little more, mm-hmm. and I think Tapia can play all three. I mean, he can't play right field a lot because the arm's not good, but he can play all three outfielders. He's rangy enough, but he just takes bad routes. It's really strange. And do you think that's something that could be taught? So hopefully that can get corrected. But the big question with Tapia for me is the power potential. I think he can hit 20 homers, especially in that park. So you're looking at a guy that can hit, you know, 290 with 20 homers and steal 20 bases. I mean, that's a fantasy star.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's in the right combination of park. If he gets traded, he takes a massive, massive hit in his fantasy value. But he also needs a place to play, so... Not getting that right here, right now, but he's super young. You're looking at a guy who's only 23, so that can all change.
All right. Any other guys that are super close to the major leagues that could help fantasy owners right away?
Yeah, they have a couple. Obviously, we know Jeff Hoffman, brutal debut in the majors last year. But I am as all aboard the Jeff Hoffman train as you can be. He had Tommy John surgery. He was looked at as a 1-1 draft candidate, like to go first overall in 2014. Remember how I told you those guys like Dylan Cease slipped in that same draft year? Hoffman was going 1-1, blew out his elbow. The Blue Jays still took him at 9, which was looked at as like a what are you doing pick. He came back. The stuff is kind of all the way back. The fastball is for sure. The velocity, 92-95, touches 97. Great life in the zone. But he throws, he's features it up in the zone a little bit. He uses it up and he plays off of the high fastball eye level and drops the big 12-6 hook on you, which is a beautiful pitch. I'd put a 70 on it at least. It's probably an 80 if he could command it better. I love the pitch. I'm a big Hoffman guy. I'm one of the rare guys. I'm like Chuck. I'm not afraid to roster Colorado pitchers. I know there's obviously everything to do with that, but I think when you have an arm, you have an arm. And I think the Rockies did the absolute right thing because the only way they're going to get an arm in the system like Hoffman is either draft him, which they didn't, or you trade for him. And I think I really, really like what they have here with him. I think the future is bright. Even though the debut was terrible, I think it's a good buy low time in dynasty formats.
All right. I'm not as bullish on him as you, but that's okay. What about other guys within the system that may be a little bit farther away?
Well, I mean, there's a couple other arms that are – like Herman Marquez is close. He pitched mm-hmm. in the majors last year. He's a solid number 4 starter. I think he's a 4. He has the good command profile. Where he throws a lot of strikes, which who knows if that'll play. Generic off-speed pitch. Fastball velocity is low 90s with a lot of life again. They got him from Tampa Bay in the Dickerson trade. He used to throw in piece.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good deal for them. And then everybody loves Tom Murphy, right?
yes, they do.
I really like Tom Murphy as a catcher that you can get for pretty cheap. But now I'm starting to worry about it because Colorado is – everything I read seems that they're going with Tony Walters as the catcher despite everything that Murphy's done. And offensively, Murphy put up a 320 ISO in AAA last year. I mean, there's nothing else to – I know it's in, you know, the best – it's in the PCL, which is crazy. And Colorado is they play their home games in a really good park, obviously, for the AAA team. But – I mean, he's a guy that's going to hit 20 homers. He's going to have a low OBP, probably hover around 300 with the OBP. But 20, 25 homers in this day and age, from a catcher spot, is gold. Because he saw how it was last year. So,
I think there's a pretty good chance it's a platoon to start, which would place Murphy on the wrong side.
Yes, to begin but that's with. Okay, because I think he can break out of that.
And I think that's the big key. It's like, it may start off a little bit slow, but I think he's a guy by the All-Star break that is going to get a lion's share of the starts, as long as his defense holds up behind the plate.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. And I guess sort of talking about guys that are going to be impact this year, a guy that I've always liked, I snuck him on the back end of my Rockies top. Well, I do 10, but it's really a 15 because I added five guys to it every time. When I wrote him up last year, I wrote up Jordan Patterson. The Rockies, of all things, until now, they went out and signed Ian Desmond, which I do like. I'm in the minority of that. I think he's a really good player for first base. I think his defense will play. The athleticism's there. I think his offensive profile fits as well as any player's in that ballpark with the line drives he hits, the high BABIPs he always has. And I think they just didn't have a spot for him, so they got Desmond, and it gave him leverage to trade an outfielder if the right offer came. So I'm fine with it. First-round pick, that's a different issue that they had to give up, seeing it was the top-protected one, but different issue. But before that, they could never have a first baseman, and they had Jordan Patterson in the system, a college bat from South Alabama. Good power. The hit tool is okay. He strings and misses too much, but he does make a lot of solid contact. Can play either outfield corner or first base. But he's a good hitter. 903 OPS versus righties. He's got the platoon issues. He's a good defensive player in the corner outfield as well. So I think he's a sneaky guy in NL only. You could maybe take a flyer on for a buck at the end of your draft and get some solid value out of. We guess we can dig into the farther guys, huh?
Yeah, let's dig into some of the guys with some higher upside that may be a little bit farther away. I think you got to start with the number one guy in their system. So who is that
sure
for the Rockies?
Do. Oh, that's Brendan Rodgers. He's I'm not scared off by the ETAs. The ETA on Rodgers has got to be every bit of 2019, maybe even 2020. But he's one of my top five fantasy prospects. I have, off the top of my head, it's Benintendi, Moncada, Reyes. Then I have Brendan Rodgers 4, and I have Giolito 5. I think that's Rodgers fits into that as the upside guy. I think you're looking at a guy, the tools are a little bit overblown. I mean, you look at Rodgers and you see the power numbers. You're like, okay, you know, that is his best tool, but it's not elite. I would say it's squarely above average, with a chance to be that, but it's not there yet. The hit tool is a little lacking. He runs well. Probably will slow down as he gets bigger. Might have to move off shortstop, but I doubt it. I think he's good enough there. I think he'll stick. And he's the type of guy. He's not in the class of Carlos Correa, but he could be. And when I say this, I mean, you know how the Astros had Jonathan Villar, and the Astros had who was their shortstop at the time? I'm drawing up. It was Villar, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah, it was Villar.
Villar is probably the better defensive shortstop at that time when he came up. You know what I mean? He was probably – Correa is better now, obviously, with the time he's gotten in development. But he's the type of guy, you put him at his position – and you let him play, and you move everyone else around him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like when Rodgers comes up, you know he's going to be at the six every day. He's going to be playing there, and Trevor Story is going to move to second base. Like, that's just how it's going to be, regardless of who the better defensive player at the time is, because you let your hitters hit, and you make them feel comfortable, kind of what the Blue Jays did with Baby Guerrero. You know, you let him play wherever the hell he wants as long as he's going to hit. And then when the time comes, you finally have to push him off, then you push him off the position, but you do it begrudgingly. You don't want to do it. But I really, really like Rodgers a lot. Obviously, as I explained, he's in a really good ballpark. I think a realistic floor for him is 270, 20 homers, but he's in Coors. So then you take that and multiply it by 1.5. You know what I mean? So.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Rodgers. He did play some time at second base last year, though, so maybe those writing's on the wall, and it's very noticeable to me they didn't play him at third, because obviously they kind of have a franchise cornerstone there. So they didn't even mess with him at third base, and they use his athleticism. Even though his arm is good enough for third, trust me, but they use his athleticism to play second base. A little bit of swing control. Sometimes he gets out in the front foot too much, gets fooled by breaking pitches, but he's also 20 years old, so that's going to happen. But yeah, the sky is the limit for Rodgers. But I think he's gonna be he's got a high floor, so he might not turn out to be the world beater player, but he's gonna be great for you in fantasy.
All right, let's move over to kind of the other side and talk about their top pitching prospect. Is Riley Pint the pitching guy or pitching prospect in Colorado that I will finally own?
It depends. What's your view on John Gray?
I love John Gray.
Okay.
So, I mean, I love John Gray. I love what I saw out of him last year, and I'm liking the reports from Riley Pint.
So you have to.
You know, you absolutely have to love him. I know you and Chuck aren't as scared about pitching pitchers in Colorado. I'm a little bit more hesitant traditionally, but I think John Gray and Riley Pint are the two that may kind of turn the corner for me.
Yeah, and Pint should do it. 102. Does that do anything for you?
Yeah, it does a lot for me.
Yeah, and he's 6'4", 195. That's ideal pitcher frame. He's going to put on 20, 30 pounds probably because he's so tall. And when he does, what's he going to throw then? I mean, yes, I understand that weight and velocity aren't equal things, but putting on good weight and building strength, that's related to velocity. So that's really good. He sits at 96 with the fastball, So that's good. He's Michael Kopech essentially without the douchiness. the skill set.
That should be his mantra.
Yeah, right? Instead of Kopech's Baby Thor tagline, Pint should have just not douchey.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have the 90-mile-an-hour slider, so he's automatically can't be Baby Thor, like the self-proclaimed Kopech. But the plus-plus power breaking ball, which is his slider, it's already a major league average pitch now, like right now, and it's projected to be plus-plus, which is ridiculous. So that tells you right there he's got two plus-plus pitches. He's got a bullpen floor, so a closer is his ultimate floor with the two plus-plus arms like that, or two plus-plus offerings. The changeup's coming along. It could be average. He commands all three pitches enough to where you don't have to be pitching on the corners when you throw 102. You can miss a little bit. So he's got the stuff to get away with it. The arm speed on the changeup is a little lacking. You can kind of tell he telegraphs it a little bit from the video that I watched. But hey, he's 19, just turned 19. Kid from Kansas. He's finally going to focus on just playing baseball. He played basketball in high school, and he's a pretty good player. I believe he could have moved on with his basketball career in college if he wanted to, but he made the right choice and took the cash maybe and signed with the Rockies. But I'm as high on Riley Pint as I can be for a pitching prospect, and you heard me talk about Hoffman earlier, and Hoffman's in the majors now, and I have to wait several years on Pint, and I'd still rather have Pint. So
I think that's pretty high praise.
Yeah, I love Riley Pint. He's going for a lot cheaper. I did a with friend of the show Ralph Lifshitz. We did a first year prospect draft, first year rookie, like rookie and international guys for like a supplemental draft for a dynasty league. Me, him, and help from their show. We did a prospect draft. I want to say we took 36 players total, and Riley Pint never got taken.
Wow. And
that was this was done 2 or 3 months ago, so it was a lot of like right after the draft, and we all kind of got scared, like the velocity and the injury risk and the ballpark, and that was a massive oversight. And I talked to I can't speak for them guys, but I did talk to them, and they are not as high on him as I am, which not a lot of people are, but they just completely wrote him off because of the ballpark, and I'm not going to do that. I think he's still got the talent to surpass it, and I mean, somebody's got to be able to pitch in that park, right? So
yeah, I agree with you. What about some other guys that may be a little bit farther away, or maybe their shine has rubbed off a little bit since they've been in the Rocky system?
A good post type. Well, not going to say good, a decent post-type NL-only sleeper would be like a Kyle Freeland. I liked him a lot when he was in Evansville, Missouri Valley Conference. I went to school at Illinois State, the Missouri Valley Conference, so I kind of watched that conference a lot. It's a really good conference for baseball. Freeland was there. He had four pitches then. He's got four pitches now. They're all about average. The curveball is the lacking one, which in Colorado is not the good one you want to be lacking. But, hey, you can probably scrap that with the other ones he's got. The curveballs in Colorado kind of make me nervous. But he's nothing great. He's a mid-rotation arm. But he will be in the major leagues probably this year. He was in AAA last year. The command is good, and it's going to get better. He throws I was reading Eric Longenhagen's scouting report on Freeland because he's one of the guys I followed a lot. He said his curveball plays up. It's his worst pitch out of the four, but it plays up because he sequences it well. He mixes it in well, picks his spots with it, knows when to throw it. You can sneak it by guys. So if he can continue to do that and be an intelligent pitcher with good stuff, and I think he has a chance to be somewhat successful. I'm not rostering him in any leagues because he is a guy that he doesn't have to blow your doors off fastball, so I might stay away from him in Coors. But they got some talent in this system. There's a couple of guys that are farther away on the offensive side. You look at Pedro Gonzalez. He was a Latin American signing. To be honest, I don't know much about him. He's a raw Latin American guy. I know he played second base and shortstop, and now he's in center field. He got over $1 million. He's not a fast guy, but he's in center because his instincts are good. He's going to grow a lot. The body comp is he's 6'3", 160 right now. I'm reading something that says they expect him to get to 6'3", 230. He's a potential plus player, but he's so far away and so projectable. He's got plus raw power. The hit tools projects to be a little below average, but he can run a little bit, and the power should play in games. I like him. A guy that I'm really down on, Forrest Wall. I spell his name wrong every time I type it. the double R in Forrest for the first name kind of throws me off. It probably shouldn't for a name, but I'm so used to typing it the other way that doesn't work. But the bad is everything he has here because he's a really bad defensive second baseman with no arm, and he's not a real speed guy. So batting average is the value here. I do think the hit tool has a chance to be above average, borderline plus, but that's his only skill. But if you're only going to have one, I guess that's one you want. So, but I don't think he's good enough to be an everyday second baseman. He might be an offensive base utility guy. Nothing wrong with that, but that's what he is. And then I kind of liked what the Rockies did this year in the draft. They used their first round pick as going high upside as he possibly can with Pint. Then they went second round. They took a college arm from Vanderbilt, Ben Bowden. He's probably a reliever in the long term because he's got a little bit of funk to the delivery, but he's a fastball changeup guy. They're going to try him to start because why wouldn't you, I guess. Anybody out of Vanderbilt is always interesting from a pitching standpoint, but the plus fastball potential, plus changeup, usable slider, good command. I think he's somebody to pay attention to. They have a lot of young pitchers they took that are the kind of sinker guys, Castellani, Peter Lambert, they're all in that mold. Ryan McMahon.
Yeah, here's a guy I'm interested in talking about because this was a guy that I think people had as top 30, top 40 prospect not too long ago. And now,
myself included.
Yeah, now he's not even considered a top 10 guy in the organization.
No. Defensively, he's obviously not playing third there. They moved him to first. Now they have Desmond at first for the foreseeable future. But again, he can change. Desmond's a guy you can build your roster and not worry about where he's going to play because he can play several spots. But he didn't play very well defensively at first base. He has good power. It hasn't shown in games yet, McMahon. He was a really good quarterback in high school from the very, very famous Mater Dei High School out in California. Second round pick, 2013. Strikeouts are the thing here, man. Way too many. It's to the point where I think it's in his head because he's making not the greatest contact in the world now. I do think he's a good buy low because he played for the AA Rockies team last year. It's a tough ballpark, and I do believe – I could be completely wrong on this, but I do believe they played every single game last year on the road because their home park wasn't ready yet. Some construction issues or whatever the hell happened. Their whole home park wasn't ready to play in for any games in Hartford. So that takes a toll on it. Every game you're riding a bus.
Yeah, that would probably get annoying pretty quickly.
So it's stuff like that. I mean, prospect development's not linear, so I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass. His AFL stint wasn't encouraging either, but again, he could be tired. I mean, bus rides are long in the minor leagues, right? But I'm still sold. If you can buy low in Dynasty, I would, because if you have all he's going to cost you is I'd give him, see if somebody wants one of these mid rotation starters, and all he's going to do is cost you a spot on your farm team. So there's no harm in that.
All right. Anybody else you want to bring up before we close out?
Dom Nunez is a catcher. I'm intrigued by the skill set. Makes a lot of contact. Decent speed, actually. But he had a struggle this year a little bit. He's 21 years old, depending on what they do with Tom Murphy. So we'll see. But I like Nunez a little bit. Tyler Nevin, Phil's son. A lot of pops. Third baseman. Powers to the end game with him here. Julian Fernandez, righty that throws hard. Again, he's probably a reliever because the delivery's got a little stop and go action in it. But he's a late inning guy if he's a reliever, so that's worth owning in some formats. I think we're going to get more toward that. I think relievers are going to carry more value in fantasy. I bet you in a few years you're looking at saves holds as the new standard.
It could easily
with the way things are going. So if you want to be proactive and maybe get out in front of that, that's, you could do worse. I like Colton Welker. He's got a little pop, first third baseman. Wrong system for that, but wrong organization for that skill set, but or those positions anyways. But he's got some pop in the bat. He had a decent debut. I think they got a lot of high upside guys here. A lot of their talent is far away, which is good because their major league spot, their major league team on the offensive side doesn't have a lot of openings for being where they are. So, yeah, I like the system. We said that a lot today, but that's good. We've talked about a lot of good systems so far. It only gets worse from here, right?
Exactly. All right, you can follow Matt Thompson on Twitter at MDTomp or FWFB. You can follow me, Justin Mason, at friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Definitely give us a rate and review on the podcast. It really helps us out, especially when you give us the 5-star variety. You can read anything we write on friendsoffantasybenefits.com, as well as check out our ranks and ranks of the other rankers. Check out our football podcasts and basketball podcasts, which are still going on. That's going to wrap us up. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.